I guess since the curtains are closed for 20 minutes, we could sort of inaugurate the festival. Would you like to say something?
We want to make this as a focal point for spirituality for the whole of Ireland. And this now yoga, the more I go on in Krishna consciousness, the more I see how the world is in such a terrible situation. And the only thing that we can do is to chant the holy name. And to chant the holy name together like this, with so many devotees in such a powerful way, I can only see great potency manifesting here. Especially, we know that the holy name goes on and forever and it's eternal, but I have this understanding that the more that we chant here, the more this place becomes a spiritual location. It becomes it is a holy dam, but the holy dam becomes even more potent. So again, I'd like to thank Shivaram Raj for helping make this way. He's been coming since, I don't know how long, since 1992. And he keeps it in his heart. He's got a Govind in his heart, so that is what actually encourages a lot of us to keep Radha Govind in our hearts as well. So again, thank you very much, and please give your full mercy to the holy name, or vice versa, should I say, but with your full heart, chant the holy name, so that we can really make this place a wonderful, wonderful place of Krishna's pastimes and a refuge for all the fallen souls in this country of Ireland. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.
Yes, just since everything that every yajna that has a beginning needs to be officially inaugurated. When Vedic yagyas are not inaugurated like that in the proper process, then they don't bear their fruit or their potency. That's not like that with chanting Hare Krishna. There's no rules and regulations. By chanting Hare Krishna, one inaugurates the chanting. And by chanting, you end the chanting, which means that there's no real end to it. Smaranena ka, one should just continue to remember, even if officially there's some end to at least this event. But the chanting should always go on, and the chanting goes on in a devotee's heart, in a Vaishnava's heart. Prabhupada had a godbrother whose name was Krishna Das. He was Babaji. He was one of the Gaudiya Math Babajis. And Prabhupada called him Akinchana Krishna Das. Anyway, there's a story, which is a story. It didn't come from Srila Prabhupada, but it's certainly known that once when he was sick, or at least it appeared like that from Dr. King, and put a stethoscope through his heart. Then he said he just heard Mridanga and King go to Hare Krishna. And that was Krishnadas Babaji's program. He said he always chanted Hare Krishna. And in fact, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he instructed his disciples, and they put an advertisement in a newspaper that if you want to just come and join Krishna consciousness movement and chant Hare Krishna all day long, you can just come and join and live in our temples. And that's how he joined. He read the ad. And then after that, they always tried to get him to do something else and just chant. In other words, to do some other type of preaching thing. But Krishna Prabhupada didn't do anything else. He just always chanted Hare Krishna. He was there just recently in Srila Prabhupada's disappearance. We watched, I was in Budapest at that time, we watched a movie that was made, ISKCON movie that was made by Srila Prabhupada's disappearance. And you see Krishnadas Babaji there, certainly, Kirtan, walking along. And he died, left his body some years after Srila Prabhupada. So anyway, there's no beginning, there's no end to chanting, and like that, we should always keep the chanting vibrating going on in our hearts. If one can do that, then certainly one's achieved the perfection of sadhana, or does his sadhana in a perfect way. But then Lord Chaitanya says that kirtaniya shudahari, but you can't do that unless you're humble. And he gives these four qualities of humility. So this is like a mood. This is the mood in which Vaishnavas chant Hare Krishna. And it becomes their absorption. Now, traditionally, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, now I'm not talking about Gaudiya Vaishnavas in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's line, but other Gaudiya Vaishnavas, for instance, the Babaji's of Radha Kund and so on, they're also Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And when you're chanting Hare Krishna with a certain absorption, then that absorption becomes known as your bhajan. And the formulation of that bhajan in terms of mantra is generally known as a siddha pranali. And that siddha pranali is a secret mantra that varies from... Anyway, it's a mantra, and that becomes the sort of mood that directs the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And it gives one identity. Sometimes, not sometimes, but generally, the identity which is assigned to devotees is far above and beyond their spiritual advancement. And therefore, this so-called siddha pranali becomes a means by which people become degraded. And amazingly enough, that and there's a lot of friction between the followers of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and other Gaudiya Vaishnavas over this issue. In any case, the siddha pranali, or the mood of chanting Hare Krishna, is this Trinadapi Shloka, which is good for everyone. It's good for all types of practicing devotees. It's good for Siddha devotees, perfected devotees. It's the mood of Srimati Radharani when she chants Hare Krishna. It's the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it works for everyone. Whereas your assigned Manjari Bhav may not work for you, especially if you chant the holy name with offense. But whether you chant with offense, or you chant it offenselessly, or you chant it purely, it's the best mood, general mood. And within that, one will also find one's own individual spiritual identity. And Srila Prabhupada points out, on commenting on Lord Kapila's instructions in the third canto, that there are different ways of chanting Hare Krishna. All chanting isn't chanting. He says there's 9 ways to chant Hare Krishna. There's these Navanga Bhakti, the 9 limbs of devotional service, and there are 3 modes of material nature, and those can be combined. Well, at least the primary combination is 9. That makes 3 times 3 is 9. And 9 times 9 makes 81. So he says there are 81 different ways. Of course, those can all be subdivided unlimitedly, but for a general category. So 9, or just take the greater division of 3, chanting in the mode of ignorance, chanting in the mode of passion, chanting in the mode of goodness. And then the 4th is chanting, spiritual chanting. Chanting in the mode of ignorance. And here, of course, the mantra is the same, or at least it sounds the same, the words are the same. What's different is the motive. You can call that the mood, but it's also a motive. The motive for which one chants. When one chants Hare Krishna, believe it or not, with the idea that he's going to do harm to some other person or some other devotee, acquire some kind of power or city in order to lord it over others. Or when one is really ignorant of both the process of chanting and the sadhana, the satya, the goal of the chanting, doesn't know who Krishna is, doesn't know what the process or technique of chanting is, that's called chanting in the mode of ignorance. A person who is aware of some of the principles of chanting Hare Krishna, but he chants for recognition because he's a nice musician, singer, and that way he'll become recognized. He chants in order to get some material benefit too. By chanting Hare Krishna, I can go to the heavenly planets and enjoy sense enjoyment, or even here in this world I can enjoy sense gratification. If one chants Hare Krishna in order to benefit oneself materially, one's family, and so on, sometimes people say that, can you chant Hare Krishna for my family, so that they're healthy or well, or that they get good exams and so on. And I try to always say no. Not going to chant. And there seems to be this type of idea that sort of entered ISKCON, that one person can chant for the benefit of the other. Well, I'll chant an extra round for somebody else. We're in such bad shape, we should just chant our extra rounds for ourselves. I don't know if this type of thing works, chanting your rounds for somebody else. I've never heard it anyway. Certainly we chant for the benefit by our chanting. Everyone else benefits. Thakur Haridas told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when you chant Hare Krishna, then the animals, the humans, the trees, everyone benefits from the chanting. But it's somewhat presumptuous to chant for the benefit of others when we are also really quite fallen and in need of benefit ourselves. And that's what chanting in the mode of goodness is, when I chant to advance spiritually. By chanting Hare Krishna, I'll advance in Krishna consciousness, and that's good. And that type of chanting purifies. The other type of chanting also purifies, but very, very slowly. Other types of chanting will not liberate us. They'll simply guarantee that we take birth again, perhaps in the human species of life, but we'll continue chanting, human species or not. Aparadam sijuktanam namijam parantiyukam. So even if one chants offensively, it's better than not chanting at all. Sometimes people ask, well, isn't it better to chant a few rounds offensively than many rounds offensively? Which is a very strange question, because if you can chant a few rounds offenselessly, then why can't you chant many offenselessly? In other words, once you've got the potency, then it will come, and naturally one will chant more and more. But or the question that is it better not to chant at all until you can chant without offense to the holy name. So Shastra says, no, you should chant. You should chant under any circumstance. But we should try to do it with quality. And the best quality is when we chant for the pleasure of the Lord. Here, Radha Govindaji are the presiding deities at Govindadvi, otherwise known as Inishra. And so we should chant for their pleasure. Chanting for their pleasure, dancing for their pleasure, clapping our hands for their pleasure. In other words, that's what we are meant to be doing. That's what advanced devotees do, and that's what advancing devotees try to do. We try to please the Lord, and when that's the mentality, or at least when we try to keep that mentality, then it becomes an ideal impetus for chanting Hare Krishna, and the maximum benefit is gained. So, I guess those are a few words on which we can really sort of meditate. There are a lot of devotees here, even I think more devotees will come. We're chanting Hare Krishna with instruments and Western instruments, playing along and doing things in an organized way, systematic way. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would do that. When you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very particular. He had certain devotees dancing, certain devotees chanting, certain devotees playing instruments. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had his personal mridanga player, and he wouldn't even chant unless he was present. Because, once again, if it's for Krishna, then any old way isn't the right mentality. In other words, it should be done the nicest way possible. If, because of lack of facility, if one is overcome by ecstasy and so on, then things aren't done in a melodic way, if things aren't done in other ways, then that's fine. But otherwise, part of trying to please Krishna is using all of the resources that Krishna has given us in order to please Him. So we should try to do things nicely. And then, at least our program of now would be, is that perhaps we'll continue doing kirtan until 9 o'clock. Then at least I have to go and take care of my deities and do puja, so you can all continue chanting. And I hear that there is such a thing as breakfast. Alright, so for sense enjoyers, there's breakfast. and then I'll try and get back by 10. And then at noon again, I have a telephone conference. And now we'll go until 1 or 2. 1 o'clock, and then we'll break for lunch at 1, and then the devotees can rest a little, chanting can be tiring, and we'll continue with 4 up until 9-ish or so, however long it goes. Alright. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, 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 Srila Prabhupada ki jai,